Don't get distracted by that. thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Danny said, you're not going to stand out on that, are you? I don't know what I'm going to do right now. Thank you for your word, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody said, thank you for your word, Lord. The word tells us in Hebrews 12:2, fixing or focusing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or forerunner, or the one that makes the way, and perfecter or maturity of faith, of our faith that he's given us. Another translation says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. It's his faith, okay? Given the first incentive for our behalf. And it's also, it's what? Finisher. Bringing it to maturity and perfection. We are all growing in our faith. If you're not maturing and growing in your faith. You know, I read a story. I'm going to read you a couple stories before we get into the word this morning. The first story I want to read is that was a interesting story about how lions are trained for shows. You know, if you go to the circus or whatever. The trainers have whips and pistols, but they also carry a stool. And the article read that the stool is their most important tool in training the lion. When the lion gets out of control, this is what the lion trainer does. He doesn't use his pistol or his whip. This is what the lion trainer does. He holds the stool by the back and he thrusts it into the lion's face. Now guess what the lion is focusing on that moment? All four legs coming at him. And so, you know, if you turn it this way, guess what you got to focus on? This one thing. And so many times when we're trying to focus on Jesus, and I'll get on to this in the message a little bit more later, this is what comes at us. Amen? So the important tool of the lion tamer is his tool. The tool is his stool. Because when that is thrust into the face of the lion, it makes him go into a certain paralyzed stage, and he's like this. The lion tries to focus on all four legs at once. So in an attempt to focus on all four legs, like I said, the lion becomes paralyzed and becomes weak and disabled because his attention is what? Fragmented. And the Lord wants us to have clear vision so we can focus. And I'm so wanting to get ahead of myself, but I got to take it step by step. His vision becomes fragmented. Fragmented. He becomes distracted and he loses focus. So I'm going to give you another story. According to a survey, distractions from inside the vehicle is accounted for 62% or more of accidents. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Wow. Distractions from outside the vehicle accounted for only 35%. What's going on in you today? That's causing your focus to be fragmented. What is going on inside the vehicle causes more distractions, causing a person to lose focus more than what is going on outside the vehicle. Because you know what happens when you lose focus inside the vehicle? You're either taking one hand off the steering wheel or the other hand. Either to grab your phone or your coffee cup that's spilling over, or fixing your hair or putting makeup on going down the road. Now, I know some of y'all just don't do all that stuff. Jesus, take the wheel. You got to keep your hands on the wheel and let Jesus cover those hands, church, so that your focus and your vision doesn't get fragmented. Now, the word distraction means that which diverts attention, which is simple. We know that. It's a diversion. It is confusion, disturbance or disorder, derangement, madness, anarchy, I guess, could be thrown in there. Focus means to pay a particular attention to. It means to concentrate on a particular goal or action or a series of actions for a particular amount of time by eliminating various distractions which come in a way to achieve your goal. Have you ever been distracted from doing something that needed to be done at that moment? How many times have you been preparing for a sermon? Or teaching, Miss Martha. Amen. Paul often compared the Christian life to that of a runner who strains toward, who moves toward, and reaches toward, and reaches forward to the finish line. A runner that has got that goal in his mind, that's got that focus in his mind, does not let the sideline distractions get him off a focus to where he is headed. And you've seen me, you've heard me say before that that runner may get tired. He may stumble. I just remember seeing something on Facebook the other day of a real race, and this woman was just so close, probably from here to there to the finish line. She was exhausted. She was tired. And she fell down, and she started crawling, doing everything she could. And you know what happens? Some of the other runners come back and help her. And I think I'll be preaching on that next Sunday, how we're our brother's keeper. Amen. And no one is left behind. Amen. But that runner keeps his eyes straight toward that goal. And he doesn't look to the left or the right. And every once in a while, somebody may hold him something to drink out there, and he'll grab it and keep on going. Why? Because he's got a goal to reach. Amen. He's got to focus on that goal. And we do too, church. We cannot take our eyes off of Jesus. Off of Jesus. Amen. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, I press on to possess the perfection or the maturity. Because we're supposed to be going. Our relationship with God is progressing. So many relationships go sour in the natural because there's no progression in it. It becomes stale. It's lost its interest. So as Christians, we have to grow into maturity. We grow into maturity by continually learning who we are, getting into the Word, and renewing our mind over and over again. It's not just a one-time thing. Why? Because those four-legged distractions of life come after us and wants to sidetrack us. He said, I possess the maturity for which Christ first possessed of me. I've not achieved it yet. We've not got it all there yet. But I focus on this one thing. He said, I got to forget the past. How many times has that four-legged distraction of the past comes at you? Amen. Looking forward, Paul says, to what lies ahead. He said, I press on. In other words, I focus toward the goal for the prize and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I got to somewhere I got to go. And I can't let these distractions stop me from reaching that place called there. So in order to go into a maturity relationship with God, we must make our focus on Jesus and not those things around us. I was reminded of a story when Peter actually walked on water for a brief time. We all know that he was okay as long as he kept his focus where? On the one that he was pressing toward. It was only when he saw the wind, saw the distraction, that he was afraid and he began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. And that's when Jesus reached out and caught him and said, you of little faith. He said, why do you doubt? Where's that faith that I've given you? Why are you doubting? But Jesus is always there to lift us up and to lift us out. Amen. And Jesus was able to keep Peter from drowning when Peter chose to. When Peter made the decision to take his eyes off of the wind, off of the distraction, and fixed it back on Jesus. We just have to get up. We don't quit. And who knows, that one moment you decide to get up, everything could change. That moment you decide, okay, I may have quit yesterday and I may have, kind of got a little lazy on praying and getting to the Word, but today's a new day. And I choose not to be distracted today. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the Word says. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. And you know, the distractions that come along in our life from the devil does not come to fight where we are, because we already are where we are. But it causes you to keep you from going where we are going. The distractions from the devil does not come to fight where we are, but where we are going. Remember, we talk a lot about that place called there. There are many places in our lives that is called their places. It's not just a one-time place. Because what? We are maturing and we're growing in God. And the distractions come to keep us from getting to those places called there in life. Because it's there where your promise is. It's there where your victory is at. It's there where you fulfill the calling. Amen. Circumstances pushes that four-legged stool in your face. And it could be many things in life. It could be your job. It could be finances. It could be school. Or whatever else is staring you in the face. And at those times, we wonder sometimes where our faith has gone. Where our faith has gone. And sometimes we have to take our spiritual glasses off and wash them with the water of the Word. And wash them with the water of the Word. They can become fogged with the cares and concerns of life. They can become fogged with what is going on in the world at this time and the darkness of the world. Would you buy that water? They can become fogged with those four-legged stools pushed at us. And in the natural, we talked about a while ago that is going on in the vehicle will determine if you get to your destination or not. And you know, if you've got a trip planned, you got it all Googled out, and it's going to say it's going to take you an hour and 45 minutes to get there if there are no delays or anything. But if you continually stop to get something to drink every 2 or 3 hours, or every few minutes rather, you're never going to get to where you're going. Amen? So what is going on in the vehicle will determine if you get to your destination or not. And if you allow the distractions to cause you to get off focus, you will get off your course where you are headed. You got to keep focused. This is where that Google map is taking me to. This is where this Word, that's our roadmap for this life. This leads us and guides us. This is where it's taking us to. Our final destination, of course, is heaven. But this Word is for now. It's completed when we get to heaven. This is the Word that we have now. This is what tells us how not to be distracted and what to do to keep our focus and what causes distractions. So, what is going in you will determine how you handle what is going on around you. Because if the devil can cause your mind to be in an upheaval all the time, I don't know what's going on, it's not looking good. You know, they're saying this and they're saying that and all these things. And if you're constantly concentrating on that, that is not peace. That is not joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 tells us, set your mind. Set your mind. Other word, focus. Your attention on things above. The message The Message translation says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Wow. That's the Message translation. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. Far above. That is above. Far. That's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of this natural realm. And I'm having a few distractions right now. Y'all got to blow your nose sometime. Amen. But we can't let that get off focus, because I got a word to tell you. I got something that we need to know. Amen. So we can't allow that distraction. I was so distracted I didn't even know the Kleenex box was sitting right there. I was so distracted that I didn't realize there were two stools up there, and I had Brother Danny go get me this one. And sometimes you are distracted by that which is right in front of you and not even realize it. And sometimes we think it's the bigger distraction that is taking our eyes off, taking the focus off, when it's actually right in front of us, right under our nose, so to speak. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, set your mind, focus your attention. Message translation, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. So, and I thought this was an awesome, I think this might have been the Message translation. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. I think that second one I read you was the passion. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle alone. Eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert. What is going on around you? What is going on around Christ, rather. But look up and be alert. What is going on around Christ? That's where the action is. See things from what? See things from His perspective. Have you ever wondered, with all that's going on right now, have you ever wondered what is really going on with all the unrest in our country? What the devil is trying to stop? Why is the devil trying to cause so much chaos? What is that the evil of darkness is causing all this to keep us distracted from? Because it's a big distraction. The enemy uses fear to paralyze us, to keep us from faith. To keep us from faith. Fear not has been said to be used 80 times in the Bible. Fear not. And we'll have many opportunities, as we know, to fear not. The enemy uses fear to decrease our hope and to cause us to lose joy and causes us to doubt. Fear has a voice, and fear has eyes. But so does faith. But so does faith. Beginning in the book of Genesis and continuing throughout the book of the Bible, God reminds us over, fear not. Isaiah 41 tells us, don't fear, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not actually look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand. With my righteous right hand. Message Bible says, look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from what? His perspective. And as we look around at the unrest in our nation at this time, and to stay focused and to stay in faith and stay out of fear, there's one thing we must do, one thing our focus must be on, and that is what it is from God's perspective. What is it from the Word's perspective? What is it from heaven's view that we need to be looking through the lens through? From a natural perspective. We know that things look gloomy. Things look dark. So there was a man in the Bible that we're familiar with named Noah. Things was pretty bad in his day. From the Genesis chapter 6, we have the account. People were violent, corrupt, and wicked, doing what was right in their eyes. And because it was right in their eyes, didn't mean it was right in the eyes of God. And it's only right if the Bible says it's right. Because that is the standard and the truth that we live by. The Lord saw how great wickedness, men's wickedness was on the earth had become. And that their every thought of their heart was only on evil all the time. The earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And we only have to just turn the news on for a few minutes, or just on social media for a few minutes, to get many examples of what passes for violence, corruption, and wickedness. Men doing, people doing what is right in their eyes, because they think what they're doing is right, and that they have a cost to do what they do. But again, I say, if it's not the truth of the word, it's not right. That is the standard that we're to live by. The instruments used to accomplish those activities in the day of Noah, that same spirit that caused those people to do that in the days of Noah, but the evil intent and the evil result are the same today. It's the same spirit, it's the same evil, it's the same oppressor, it's the same enemy. We just see it more widespread today because of social media and TV and everything. But it's the same spirit. And that's where fear will come in if we're not careful. Evil was their normal mode of operating. And may we never watch so much news and get into social media so much that we become sensitized to the evil that is going on, that we as a church begin to think that it's normal. That is very dangerous, church. That we just think that it's just normal. It's not normal. It's evil. It's things that are happening. Some of the things that are happening are the very pits of hell, come to kill, to steal, and destroy. And as I said last Sunday, the devil's just using people as his pawns in his hands to do whatever he commands them to do. But I believe God's truth will prevail. Has, is, and will prevail. Amen. So God found only one man that dared to be different. We got anybody in the house today say, I want that to be me. Amen. Dare to be different. The Bible said Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his people. And the key was he walked with God. He walked with God. In other words, he knew God. He had a relationship with God. God finds a remnant of people who walks with him in faith in the earth today. And I believe that he does. Because there's always that remnant of people that will stand up and begin to speak out, begin to prophesy, begin to declare the truth of God's word. Amen. Dare to be different. So as a result of Noah's righteousness, God used him to save remnant of humans and animals. Because he saw the bigger plan, repopulating the earth after the flood. After the flood. But not everybody chose to accept the salvation that Noah offered to them at that time. And it will be the same way today. But that doesn't keep us from being our brother's keeper. And that we're going to make a decision not to leave no one behind. Amen. So Matthew 24:38 says, for in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. So it was in that day, so it will be in the day in which we're living. Amen. And we're seeing that now. Amen. So in the days of Noah, people were unconcerned with the impact that God had on their lives. Jesus told the disciples when he quoted that verse, while sitting on the Mount of Olives, that such would be the attitude of many up to the time that he would return. So this is what's happening. We're getting ready to get out of here. We got to be prepared that it could be right now, and live like it's going to be after we're gone, and our children or grandchildren will see it. But that is our expectation and our hope, church. Noah heard from God, and he was led to do something because he wasn't afraid of what was going on around him, but he heard God. And it was led to do something that made no sense, that made no sense from earthly perspective. What God was calling Noah to do made no sense. Nobody had ever seen an ark before, much less rain. Nor this is my perspective on the situation that is happening in the land and what I'm going to do about it. Build me an ark, Noah. An ark? You say an ark, God? God was the designer. Noah was to be the obedient one. We don't have to have it all figured out, church. All he wants is obedience and trust. He said, I'm the blueprint. You just be obedient to do what I tell you to do. Amen. It'll all come together. No water in sight. Build me an ark, which made no sense from an earthly perspective. What God has called us to do in this time? What is God calling us to do in this time as we are as a nation? We are to look up. We are to look up. Not be shuffling our feet, not to be operating out of fear, but faith. That is where our focus is, it should be. Don't be distracted by what's going on around you. Because a distraction is just to get us off of focus, what's really going on. And that's revival in the land. That's people getting saved and delivered and set free by the power of God. At this moment, what is going on in you now? Don't be distracted by what is going on around you. Know what's inside of you is bigger than that which is going on around you. What is going on in you now is a Holy Ghost river that will not be stopped. Can you believe that? When the enemy comes in, what does the Bible say? Like a flood, God says, I'm coming in. Hallelujah. There is a Holy Ghost river inside of you, church. And may we never forget that. There's a Holy Ghost river inside of you that's ushering forth in this season. And when I was thinking about the other day, I heard for this moment in time, I'm causing a tsunami coming forth from my people that will cause a tidal wave of my glory. What does a tsunami do? It destroys everything in his path that's not grounded down and fixed and stable. Wow. He has caused a tsunami full of his glory to come forth out of you with the word that you speak that will show forth God's glory in the earth for such a time as this. Yes, revival will be seen in the land. So do not give in to fear. Don't give ear to naysayers. When others are saying, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Should we be doing this or should we be doing that? Our response should be, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. On Christ, the solid, the solid rock. What? We stand. But why? Because all other ground is what? Sinking sand. Wow. My trust is not in the hands of man. My trust is not in what the news is saying and the latest stock thing, whether it's up or down. God is stable and firm and fixed. He's not an up and down God. He does not change his mind. And that's where our trust should be. So as Christians, we are not to be fearful, but we are to trust the Lord. The word tells us in Psalms 56:11, in God I trust. In God I trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. Wow. So regardless of what happens, the psalmist says, I will trust in God. Why? Because he understood and he knew the power of God. He had a heavenly perspective. And he refused to fear to be part of his life. And trust in God is learning about him. It is about knowing him. It's about being in relationship with him. God is good and there is no evil in him. So if you're one that believes that God has caused all this darkness, unrest, and anarchy in the world today, this must be God's judgment. And you better do all this stuff and get ready for it. I'm here to tell you, why would you want to put your trust? Why would you want to put your life in the hands of an angry God, in a God like that? God is a good God, and he is faithful to his children. That's what kind of Abba Father he is to us. He is a God of redemption and mercy and grace. Once we've learned to put our trust in God, we will no longer be afraid of the things that come against us. Because our hope is not in this world, because we're really passing through. And like I said before, we should not be comfortable here, but we should not be sensitized to what's going on around us as normal and as okay, because it's not. And he has gathered a remnant of people that says, no, no, no. That says, no, I will prophesy, I will speak, I will declare the oracles of my God. You may think you're doing what's right in your eyes, but if it's not the truth of this word, church, stay away from it. Find it in the word, because the word will always work. And you work the word by confessing, by renewing your mind. Over and over again, just as I am, I come to him to be reminded of who I am and to be reminded of who he is. And not give myself into the chaos. Sometimes you just have to walk away from people. Sometimes we have to learn how to shut our mouth and open our mouth with the wisdom of God. Once we've learned to put our trust in God, we'll no longer be afraid of the things that come against us, because we know that God is a good God. And he said, I will protect you, nor the things that's happening around us. And I want to read one more scripture before we close. Psalms 5:11. We will be like the psalmist who said with confidence, you all can stand. We are going to be like the psalmist who said with confidence in Psalms 5:11, let all who take refuge in you, what? Be glad. Let them, what? Sing for joy. Spread your protection over them. And that those who love your name will what? Rejoice. I got to tell you, church, we're not here to go down, but we're here to go over. God has already declared that we win. We're not trying to pray to make something happen. It's already happened in heaven. Amen. And the kingdom of God lives in us. Amen. And we're to decree and declare that kingdom in the earth as it is in heaven. He told Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And if it does, that makes God a liar, and he's not a liar. He said, the gates of hell's not going to prevail against my church. And I got to tell you, I got to tell you again, our God is a good God. He is for us, and he's not against us. And that doesn't mean we could just go out and do anything we want to do. It doesn't mean that at all. We are called to account, to hold ourselves accountable. Amen. But God's not out to punish you. If you're hearing a prophetic word about doomsday and all that, I got to tell you, church, I'm not storing up food. I'm not storing up ammunition. But what I am doing is decreeing and declare God's word over me and my household, we shall be saved. And it doesn't mean I don't use wisdom. And when I do use wisdom, I do according to what the word says. Amen. 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 But we do not bow. We will not give in. We will not be overthrown. The church is getting ready. It's rising up in the midst of this darkness. A great light has shone. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we come against that force of darkness in this land right now in the name of Jesus. The hatred and all that's going on. Yes. Satan, your days are numbered.
Your days are numbered. We done got the email. We done got the voice call. We done got the word written in the blood of Jesus that we are overcomers in this life. It's right here. And if people tell you, well, I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. But if it's not written in this word, it's not the right thing to do. Because you've got to live by standard. And the standard that we live by is the word of God, which is truth, which is life, which is hope, which is joy, which is peace, which is salvation to all those that believe. Hallelujah.
Our benediction. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.
Amen. Be blessed. I speak God's favor over you. I speak doors that have been closed to be open in the days ahead. I speak right now that the favor of God surrounds you as a shield. Your children are coming home. Your lost loved ones are coming home. That's where safety's at. That's where peace is at. Amen. I tell you, there's a preaching anointing up here, and I could probably preach for another hour, but we're going to go home. And I'll save the rest of it for next Sunday. Amen. We are a brother's keeper, and we're going to be determined not to leave one person behind. We're going to bring them home. Hey, hey. So they can be healed, saved, and delivered, and set free by the power of God. Because that's what God has put in our hands to do. Amen. Have a blessed week, everybody.